Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
In 1954, we awakened something.
Well, there's nuclear tests in the Pacific. Not tests.
They were trying to kill it.
You have no idea what's coming.
Thinking nature is in our control. And not the other way around.
Excerpt from the trailer to the movie, much awaited movie, by the way, Godzilla. Now, this is maybe the dozenth retelling of the story of Godzilla, an interesting retelling in this particular movie. Of course, this is the kind of movie that captures the imagination. It has so many different elements about the environment, about monsters that are of our own creation, not of our own creation, about man's foibles, his dependence on technology. It seems to hit all the right buttons, especially here in the 21st century, the advent of the 21st century. What is this movie really all about, and does it have something to do with whom you trust? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Ted Giese will be with us for the first few minutes of this hour, talking about the movie Godzilla, and then we'll continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 8 and 1 Peter 3. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He reviews movies with us about every week. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's taught a course for the Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that this movie, sci-fi, thriller, I guess is what we'd have to call it, or horror movie, kind of a cross between the two, actually presents the viewer with the three things that man generally puts his trust in. What are they?
Yeah, the three things would be either God, in man himself, or in nature. These are the kind of the three things that you find showing up in the movie as things people are placing their trust in.
So let's start with nature, the last on your list. What is the nature in which this movie poses man put his trust in? Is it Godzilla himself?
It is. Godzilla, I guess, would be like a personification of nature, and there's this sense that Godzilla can maybe even save humanity from another threat. So, you know, at one point in the movie, you get like this media headline, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Savior of Our City. So you have this very definite like sense that this is something that that people might want to put their trust in. In fact, one of the characters in the film, this Japanese scientist, he has a line, and we heard it in the trailer that was the portion of which was played just before we got going here. And that line, how does it go? It is the line where he says that the foolishness of mankind, or the arrogance of man, is thinking nature is in their control and not the other way around. So even there, he's saying, okay, well, who's in control? Nature is in control. And when there's this time when Godzilla would be fighting this other set of monsters, he says, let them fight. So he's putting his money on Godzilla, Gojira, as he says, in that particular instance.
Okay, so to get into that theme here of trusting in nature, as you've outlined it just now, you do have to give us a little bit of the plot. This isn't just Godzilla who's wreaking havoc on humanity and everything that humanity has built. There's more to the kind of distortion of nature, the power of nature to it. Give us just a brief non-spoiler plot line here.
Yeah, a thumbnail sketch of it would be that, and this is like science fiction stuff, right? So in the science fiction kind of world they've created, in the primordial ooze of the distant past, in this irradiated earth, these monsters were wandering around, and they've largely been sitting dormant and hidden in plain sight or under the earth or around in the depths of the seas. And then as scientists are finding them, basically going around like a guy with a short stick poking grizzly bears, they end up awaking these things or getting themselves into situations where they're dangerously now interacting with society. So out in the middle of the South Pacific, Pacific Sea, they you know, what looks like nuclear bomb tests are actually them trying to get rid of these things. So this is, and they become a public threat. They destroy cities. This group, this two aliens, these, they're not really aliens, these two big monsters are fighting with Godzilla, and they're trying to procreate. And the danger is if these things procreate, they'll overrun the Earth. And they have this weird ability of being able to knock the electrical power out, like an EMP pulse. And that's a very frightening thing for people within the movie. So the loss of Wi-Fi, right? And everyone would, like, lose their marbles in North American society, right? So this is the thing that they're most worried about in it. And then what do you do about that? Like, how do you engage with that? What do you do to stop it? And, you know, is there a possibility that Godzilla could be the thing that will actually save us from this other problem? That's in a nutshell, that's what you get.
So that raises the second thing that you mentioned, and that is trust in man himself, in the form, I take it, in this film of our technology. Talk about that.
Yeah, so you get your kind of central characters, and one of which is this explosives ordnance disposal officer. He's a naval officer. His name is Lieutenant Ford Brody, and he's kind of like your counterpart to Godzilla. Like they both play the hero characters in the film in some ways, and the director even makes nods and makes sure that you know that these are connected people, right? So on the one hand, you have this guy in the midst of trouble who is capable of trying to help along a solution to the problem. So, and he's just one guy. So there's a whole bunch of other people, kind of ancillary individuals, who are also involved in trying to stop this happening. So the second thing would be is putting your trust in humanity's capacity to thwart off potential, you know, quote-unquote apocalyptic disaster.
Now, the third one comes in an interesting form, you say, where God is kind of introduced and then politely shown the door in the course of the story of Godzilla. How does it happen?
Well, this character that I mentioned, this Ford Brody, the lieutenant in the Navy, his father also, like in an earlier part of the story, is played by a familiar actor who's been in you know, shows like Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston. And he plays an engineer, a nuclear power plant engineer. And he has a line that's also in the trailer. We didn't hear it here, but if you've seen it in the theater, you would know. He says, you know, seeing that there's a big disaster and they were trying to cover it up, his wife died in it, and he says, you're not fooling anyone when you say that what happened was a natural disaster. You're lying. It's not an earthquake. It wasn't a typhoon. Because what's really happening is you're hiding something out there, and it's going to send us back to the Stone Age. God, help us. So right there you have God injected into it, right? And this is then, by that other scientist I was mentioning, it's kind of poo-pooed and like, you know, that's not what's going on here. And in fact, the other scientist's assistant likens Godzilla to being, in all intents and purposes, a god. So you kind of have God kind of, you know, not really being the focus. But then there's this interesting thing, and this is where kind of like the nexus of all of it comes together. There's this kind of critical moment where you have these paratroopers who are going into the midst of the most dangerous of the dangerous situation, and they're about to paratroop out of their aircraft down basically into the path of Godzilla. And before that happens, one of the paratroopers there says a prayer, and it's very clearly a prayer to the Lord, and it's designed in such a way that if you're a thinking Christian, you're watching the movie, you realize this paratrooper is putting God in the proper place in terms of the order of creation, and himself in the right place in the order of creation, and creation in the right place in the order of creation, which would be God as creator, man as the pinnacle of creation, and the natural world as the dominion that man is to take care of, right, in terms of stewardship. So and then always the trust being in God, in the Lord, and then jumps out of the back of the airplane down to unknown roads ahead of him to work on trying to solve a solution, not based on his own gumption and, you know, pulling himself up by his own bootstraps or something, or focused on himself as the way of doing it, but as a vocational Christian in God's kingdom. Which is very interesting. Like that is a fabulous little prayer, and I tried to find it online, and I didn't write it down when I was in the theater, but it was a very interesting little prayer, and it was in stark contrast to some of the other things going on in the film.
Is there a message? I mean, you don't usually go to a disaster film, especially one that features enormous creatures fighting with one another. Man is kind of just getting caught in the crossfire. You don't expect necessarily a message out of this. Is there one in Godzilla?
Well, there's that question of who do you put your trust in? And like the Christian going to a movie like this, even though it's like completely hypothetical, because there's not going to be a Godzilla out there that we'd have to deal with. But you know, like it's a question of who do you put your trust in? So that's an excellent thing. It's a good question to be asking. The other thing that's really interesting about this is that you get a lot of military, you get a lot of vocational related kind of people in their work, but they aren't, sometimes the military in movies like this can be played for fools, or they can be played for being villains or something like that. That's not the case in this. This is a very positive view of that. I mean, they're not particularly effective necessarily in all circumstances, but they are being very conscientious in their work, and even right down to like there's a school bus driver at one point who is showed to be very good at his job. Like he's being very safe about protecting the children, but he's also not being timid. He wants to get the kids out of trouble. So like these are really kind of fascinating and interesting elements to it. In a movie, for instance, like Man of Steel that we saw last year, like there's a lot of disaster, but there's not a lot of care as to what people would be experiencing in the disaster. Now, this isn't a perfect movie, but there's more care to what people would be experiencing in an actual disaster. Even at one point, you see FEMA taking care of people after a particular disastrous event occurs. So that I think, is an interesting theme in the film, too.
Any pastoral concerns that you might have about who should be seeing a movie like this, given the fact that, as we've said here, people die, and there's a lot of destruction. What would your thoughts be there with about a minute?
You know, some people have a bigger threshold for things than other people do. And, like, if you're at all sensitive, you know, it is fairly intense. This is a serious movie. Like, it's a big monster movie, but no one told the actors that. So it's played serious. It's not played for a lot of laughs. There's not a lot of laughs in this. So that's one element. It's an intense film. The other thing is that it's not for small children. Like, and I was reflecting on this. I had somebody on Facebook ask me a question about some movie-related things. And like, for me, when I was a little kid, I remember going to see Star Wars. And, you know, you got Darth Vader, you got laser beams, and you got, like, lightsabers, and you got planets blowing up and stuff. You know what wrecked me was this interrogation droid with a hypodermic needle on it. That needle wrecked me. I was, like, freaked out by hypodermic needles after that. And, you know, God bless my parents. They were great. I'm happy they took me to see Star Wars. Actually, it was kind of a neat movie as a kid to see. But, you know, I had that little thing as something that frightened me later. So you don't always know exactly what a kid's going to take away from a film as being something distressing. But really, it's not for small children. This is not a movie for small kids. But if you're going to go see it, be prepared afterwards to talk about things that might be challenging or might linger on, because there is this fear in the movie about the loss of technology, like facing nature face-to-face without any tools. That's more frightening in this film, or that's the way the film presents it to a modern viewer, than death. People would rather die, it seems. This is what the story is telling you. People would rather die than have to face technology, face nature without their technology. That seems to be the fear lingering in the background of this film. So very interesting stuff, but be prepared to talk afterwards.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. I do highly recommend that you read Pastor Ted Giese's movie reviews. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour on this Thursday afternoon, May the 22nd, looking at Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 8 and 1 Peter chapter 3. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. It's a regular series we do here on Issues, Etc., and it's next. Stay tuned.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
So that verse 13, you attain together the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge, not of you, but of the Son of God Himself, the knowledge of His perfected humanity, the knowledge of the measure of His total imputed, and that means gift, righteousness. You are totally and freely justified, forgiven, perfected by God's work in Jesus on the cross.
Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, making disciples in the Word and sacraments of Jesus Christ. BethanyLCS.org.
Check
check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience. Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.